Good morning to you all. This is Daniel King with the Daily Inspiration. May God's peace be upon your life here this morning. I'd just like to continue with a theme that I've been on here the last couple of days. And I'd like to continue here with Mark 9 at the very end there, verse 49 and 50. It says, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost its saltness, wherewith will ye season it? Have salt in yourselves, and have peace one with another." And I think what Jesus is talking about, if you remember the scene here from the few days earlier here, Jesus is there sitting in the midst of his disciples in this house in Capernaum with a child on his lap. And he's giving this answer to this question that John had raised about forbidding someone to follow him, forbidding someone to use the name of Jesus if he's not part of his group, if he's not part of his circle there. And I would just like to mention here that in if you read the story, I'm not going to spend a lot of time, but if you read the story in Numbers 11, this is a very common problem, especially among leaders. And if you read the scripture in that way, you will soon see that the leaders, I'm going to say the successful leaders for the long run, were usually free of this, and it always came with a price. And what I'm saying is free of is, let me just explain here briefly what I see there in Numbers 11 with Moses. Moses was exhausted. He couldn't keep up with the needs in the group or you know, within the camp there with the whole children of Israel there. And so he needed help in the area of ministering. He needed help in the area of leading the people and ministering to the needs of the people, but also to keep them revived in the work of God. In other words, to keep their hearts towards God. He needed help to prophesy to them, to preach to them, to settle disputes. And so what he did is he called 70 people who had been faithful and who had, you know, a good testimony into the tabernacle there. And it says that Moses put his hands on these people and prayed over them, these 70 people. And then his spirit entered into them, the spirit of Moses entered into them, which was really the spirit of God. But after that, it says that these people possessed the same character and qualities and power that Moses had. And so Moses just got done duplicating himself by, you know, 70 times. And then these 70 men went out, and they dispersed, they spread themselves out among the whole camp of Israel. And there they started working. It says they started prophesying and ministering to the people and preaching to them and just doing the work of the Lord among the camp of Israel there. And then Joshua was one of them, and he saw two people who were also prophesying and who were also doing the work of the Lord. As he went about his, you know, work there, he met two people that were not part of the 70. They had not been there. And so he comes back to Moses, and he tells Moses that there's two people out there doing the work that you sent us to do. But they're not part of, they weren't part of the 70 here. In other words, they weren't part of the laying on of hands and and everything that you commissioned us to do. They're just out there on their own. They should be stopped. He was asking Moses to stop them. And I believe he wanted them to be stopped. And I believe he was looking at Moses to back him up. And I believe if he would have had a consent from Moses, I believe he would have, you know, maybe he would have even asked for a written, some kind of signed paper or something from Moses, just something for him to carry with him and confront these people and tell them to stop. You know, you're not part of the 70. You weren't there when Moses laid his, and you're not one of us. So you need to stop. And Moses' answer is amazing. He did not enter into that control thing there. His answer to Joshua was almost the same as we find here with Jesus' answer to John. Jesus' answer was, "Forbid him not. Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name can lightly speak evil of me." In other words, Jesus was basically claiming this man, even though he was not following, like John and James and Peter and all the rest of the disciples were following him daily. Even though he wasn't doing that, Jesus was claiming this man as his own because he was doing the work of Jesus. And then, and Moses' response to Joshua was very similar. He said, the goal here, explaining to Joshua that the goal here is actually that everyone in the whole camp of Israel would do like these two men are doing. So all of a sudden, you see the commissioning that Moses gave the 70 was to empower them and equip them and enable them to do the work of God. That was the whole goal that Moses had for everyone in the whole camp. And so the reason he sent out these 70 is so that there's 70 who feel that they have the blessing and the power of Moses. But if there's two out there that can do it without coming to the tabernacle, Moses is saying, well, that's good. That's great. And probably if those two would have faced discouragement and probably needed some more, you know, if they would have wanted the blessing of Moses, I believe if they would have came to the tabernacle and ask Moses, I believe Moses with a heartbeat would have laid his hands on them and blessed them and breathed his spirit into them, you know. So Moses was not about control you know, like it says where Jesus says that the Gentiles exercise lordship and you have governors and you have kings. But Moses was about equipping people. And I'd also like to say here, the beauty that I see with John later on in Acts chapter 8, John hears of a revival in Samaria where Philip is preaching, and he comes with Peter and John, these two men that had went through this, facing themselves and facing some of their own motives in their hearts that needed to come to the surface. And here these two men after this camp come to Samaria, and it says that they laid hands on these new believers that Philip had been evangelizing, and they received the Holy Spirit. And it says after they preached many things, they came back home again to Jerusalem. It says on the way home that they preached in many villages and many came to the Lord. And I can't help but rejoice at the beauty of this. John at that point, if he would have been of the same spirit he was of before, he would have came to Samaria. The first thing he would have been concerned about is making sure that these people were he would have tried to set himself up as the leader. He would have tried to convince these people to be under him and making sure that whole structure is set up. But it doesn't say anything about that. All he did, he came and he prayed for them, and he blessed them with the Holy Spirit. In other words, he empowered them. And the empowerment was for them to live victorious over sin and for them to have the power to now go and minister the same as Moses did to these seven. Such a beautiful, such a difference in the spirit there before. And I do believe that John experienced, in other words, his sacrifice was salted with fire. I think the fire came into John's life. Conviction came in. He saw himself, and I believe that when he got rid of that spirit, I believe it was of the same equivalent as cutting off his hand and his feet and his eye. And I believe he felt very handicapped. All of a sudden, he didn't know how to function in life. But that is exactly where God wants us. That is exactly when the Spirit of Jesus Christ can come in and fill us and show us a new and a living way on how to relate to people. And I believe that what John found is he found a way to be at peace one with another. And out of that, John has a lot to write. If you read the writings of John, he has a lot to write about being one with another, peace with another. He has a lot to write about your joy being full. And you find John laying on Jesus' breasts at the Last Supper. I think John found something in relationship, relating to people, that was beautiful. And I can't help but praise the Lord as I see that picture, as I see Christianity today is so full of broken relationships, even within the church. And I think it's such a grief to God as he looks down and he sees all this striving among his people and his children. I believe that the life of John has a lot to offer as we study his life. And along with Moses and many of these people who experienced the fire, the suffering of God upon their lives, as the fire was doing its work in their lives. And also I'd like to say is it does talk about coming to Jesus to be broken, and we find that Jesus has solutions for us, whereas if we don't, the rock comes and breaks us. And so it's such a tremendous advantage that we have to come to the rock to be broken rather than having the rock come and break us. So may the Lord bless you.